Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Drop-In Pod. It's me, Brandon, and you're here with Aaron Minari, as usual. Aaron, looks like you're probably going to be the only one today, but glad to have you here, as always. How's it going?
Thanks, buddy. It's good, good. You know how it is. Just got back from Walla Walla. But yeah, doing all right.
Back from Walla Walla, they got onions over there.
They do the Walla Walla Sweets. They have a good baseball team too.
Yep. And they also have a, do they have the state prison there? Is that right?
Yes. Federal prison out there. Yep.
Federal prison, yeah.
For sure. 'Cause that's where Garrett Ridgway is at.
Is Gary Ridgway there, really?
Yeah.
Dang. Wanted to, by the way, start off by saying, did you hear about the Antonio Brown is retiring as a Raider? He's never played for the Raiders.
Oh man.
What an idiot. I mean, seriously, like, he's sending gross stuff to Caitlin Clark. He's like, what? I mean, I guess everybody's gonna blame it on CTE, but
No, that's just him losing his mind.
yeah, I
That's
don't know what's wrong
that
with
that
that
might
dude.
be that that's not CT. That's just him
Being, yeah,
being
him being
him.
him. But I guess congratulations to the Raiders. They got him last without even knowing.
That's so funny.
Oh man, it is the it's that time of year. It's the draft, which means that football has begun again in the US of A. Well, interesting because I think we all kind of guessed how, how many quarterbacks were going to go. It was a record. But
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels made that jump that we thought he was going to make later on as things started to go on, where he jumped Drake May for the second pick. I don't think anybody's shocked that Caleb Williams went first, right? I mean,
No.
that was the worst kept secret ever. And so yeah, so it ends up the Bears get Williams, the Commanders get J Daniels. And the Patriots get Drake May.
Yep.
And after that, you go Minnesota gets JJ McCarthy, not in the order of the draft, but quarterback wise. Minnesota gets JJ McCarthy.
Yep.
And
At
then,
10.
yep. And then Michael Penix. I was right. Actually, Penix was before at
Yep, he went
eight,
eight.
and he went to Atlanta. And that's the one that everybody's scratching their heads over. As Husky fans, we know Penix has got an NFL arm. We know he's talented. We know he's great. We love the fact he went high, but we have to look at a $100 million of Kirk Cousins' contract is guaranteed in Atlanta. I think it's a 3-year deal, right? And so,
Four.
is it four? God.
Yeah.
And
So
so,
the Cousins contract's gonna run out the same time as the rookie contract for
it's that's
Penix.
bizarre. It doesn't make sense. If it was going to be like a same day trade, which we haven't seen in a while, right?
Yeah.
But oh, by the way, just quickly, pick is in for the Seahawks, third round. Who is it? It is UConn guard Christian Haynes.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. We need it. We need the offensive line to be better, so I'm okay with that. Even if UConn is a basketball town, but a basketball college. But you know, but I mean, going back to Penix. I'm stoked for him, but also like, is Atlanta gonna ruin this guy? Like, I mean, like, how are they so worried about Cousins and his recovery from his Achilles surgery? But even still, you still gave this guy $100 million or guaranteed.
Yeah.
I can't really make sense of it. I told you before we started, you know, Dan Orlovsky was spinning it as, oh, it's a safety blanket. And Mina
That's
Kimes is like,
ridiculous.
Mina, who doesn't get heated too often, she's like, what are you talking about? She goes, it's an eighth pick security blanket. She's like, no, I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It's baffling. It's utterly baffling.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is because of the tampering for that Atlanta's going to see next year that they wanted to get their quarterback of the future now,
That's a
since
good, I mean,
they
yeah.
may not have in the first round next year.
It's just, you just hope for Penix's sake. Because he's not young. I mean, he actually will be 30 by the time Kirk Cousins' contract is up.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't understand. I mean,
it's
I know
so weird.
Seattle is trying to trade up for him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing that I don't understand is like, if you're Atlanta and you're getting calls from teams like Seattle who are saying, hey, we'll trade up for Penix, you're doing that, right? Like, if you're Atlanta, you're going, yeah, fall four sp or eight spots. Yeah. I mean, look at all the defense that was on the board still. I mean, like, we got the best defensive arguably the best defensive player in the in college with Byron Murphy.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, you put Dallas Turner up there as well, and even Troy Faltanu and who's there's another one in there too.
Latu.
Yeah, from UCLA, right?
Yep.
And so yeah, there's by the way, another thing to point out, Pac-12 final year of existence, and a third of the first 12 picks were Pac-12, and then it continued after
Yeah.
that.
Well, yeah, because 14 and 15, well, 12, 14 and 15 are all
Yeah.
Pac-12 as well.
And Penix went 8, Odunze went 9, so Huskies went back to back there.
Yeah.
By the way, I think it's the question, and in fact it's maybe we should pose this one as well, but I saw it today on ESPN, which was who's better set up, Caleb Williams in Chicago or JJ McCarthy in Minnesota? I truly believe that it is still potentially, although, hey, history, right? You go, ugh, Chicago.
Yeah.
But you do look at the fact that he's got, if Keenan Allen can be even remotely healthy and having Odunze out there, which I'm just saying, when you've got athleticism that Odunze has with speed, with the size, I mean, good Lord. Like, I mean, great receiver for Chicago to pick up there.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago's got they got some pieces. I think they're still a little soft on the line.
That's
That's
possible,
always
yeah.
that's always a little scary for a new quarterback, especially
Yeah.
one that holds the ball for a long ass time.
That's true. Yep. And the thing is, and when you look at two that they did go to two positions that are, you know, with wide receiver and quarterback,
Yep, two skill
two
positions.
skill positions. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think that JJ McCarthy, the more of the thing with him is he overrated, right? You know, that is so, but you look at it and you go, Justin Jefferson, in all fairness, they don't really have, I mean, they had a decent running game last year, I guess. But
They don't have any of those running backs anymore, so it doesn't matter.
yeah, I mean, that's the thing is they always seem to offload their running backs every year. So, you know, I mean, will the JJ to JJ, you know, combination work out? You know, McCarthy to, we'll see.
I mean, everybody thinks that Kirk Cousins is pretty mid, generally speaking. I mean, he's never been elite by any stretch of the imagination,
You and
but
I think that, and I agree with both of us, but I'm just saying a lot of people do see Kirk as close, not elite maybe, but just below it. And they believe that for some reason he's been shorted of a championship. And the truth is that he's had the opportunity. I mean, I was just saying that today earlier. I'm like, hey, he could have won if Kirk Cousins was Patrick Mahomes, he's winning a Super Bowl in Minnesota. I'm just saying. You know.
probably. I
Yeah.
mean, look, they had a pretty soft division too, right? I mean, it's not like the NFC North. I mean, Detroit's good.
Green Bay got
Packers,
good.
but they had an opportunity, right? Like they didn't take
Yeah.
advantage.
Yeah.
And Chicago was a mess. But man, I
Yeah,
don't know.
Chicago was, and in all fairness to you, you're right. I mean, Green Bay got in, they got hot late. So it's not like Minnesota couldn't have done that early. But that's kind of going into this year when you think about they're talking about how good Caleb Williams and how good JJ McCarthy might be for both of those teams. And the truth is that the NFC North was still a little bit of, I wouldn't say weak, but was softer last year, and they're not going to be this year unless there's a big regression for Jordan Love.
Which is possible.
It is, yeah. I mean, I'm still not completely sold on Jordan Love, but I certainly would rather see him succeed, I think, than I do have some love for Jordan Love, but you know, yeah, it's really interesting when you look at too, when you look at the Patriots, they think they've got their guy. I thought JJ McCarthy was more of a Patriots type, to be honest. I'm a little
Oh.
surprised that they didn't go for him, but they're sold on Drake May. I, you know,
New coach, new scheme, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true. That is true. Mayo is going to have a different way of doing things than Belichick.
yeah.
I think when you look at, well, I mean, when you look at our, like, you know, our fantasy football chat, right? And you got James who's gotten behind May lately. Zach and you and myself all tend to agree that May's overrated. I think that if you're going to look at somebody like Pratt, right, from Tulane and go, oh, but what competition has he seen? You almost have
It's
to make
true.
that same argument for May. You know, I mean, like
Yeah,
the
North
ACC
Carolina.
is, yeah, the ACC isn't that good. I mean, they're a power five, but that's mainly because of basketball they are. You know,
I mean,
it's
they
nonsense.
got power screwed too with FSU. So it's not
Power
so
screwed. Well, that's a good, I like that line. It's a good one.
I mean, come on, an undefeated Power Five, and you don't get into the playoffs. Get out of here.
Yep. Speaking of which, Jordan Travis is still on the board, I believe. Is Spencer Rattler still on the board? I was gone all day, so I don't know
Oh,
if
I'm not sure.
I would think the Raiders were going to be after Spencer Rattler. But when you look at Jordan Travis still, I would think, is still on the board. Pratt's going to still be on the board. If the Seahawks wanted to take one of those guys in the third round, I would love to see them take Jordan Travis. I got to be honest. I know he had a bad injury last year, but that dude is a team guy and he is passionate about football. And yeah, so what if you take him in the third and he doesn't work out? Big deal, right?
Yeah,
But
I
I
mean,
would take a flyer on Jordan Travis.
well, the problem is Hawks don't have any more picks.
Wait, don't we?
I know.
No.
I think we only had one third round pick. We didn't even have a second, I don't think.
We didn't have a second, no. I know that.
So, yeah, we don't have
Oh,
another
you mean
pick
a
in the
second
third
and a
round.
third? Yeah, I thought we did maybe, but you could be right.
Well, I don't see one, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. It's interesting because Jordan Travis might be available late too. I mean, he might be available in the fourth.
I mean, yeah, and we have the second pick in the fourth round, so that's
Yeah.
as good as a late third.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer Rattler looks like he's still available, I think.
Yeah, it looks
Which is
like.
kind of shocking.
Well, there's quite a few more picks to go in the second in the third round, though.
They're saying he'll be the next. Oh, on the mock draft, he's the next off the board, but I mean,
I mean, because we're only in the Cleveland Browns pick is in, so that means that's 21. It looks like there's probably another 10 or 11 picks.
yeah.
Oh, quite a bit because there's all the supplementary picks too. So,
Yeah. All right. Well, I suppose since we'll have more to talk about regarding the draft next week, we can move on from football. But that was, yeah, the draft, definitely an interesting year. A
yeah.
lot of offense, a ton of offense. I think it was 21 picks for offense, or 20 or something. I don't know. I don't know the
Yeah,
exact number, but it
it
was a
was really
lot.
high. I mean,
Yeah.
six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, pretty intense.
Who, if you were going to pick right now, who do you think is the best performing QB next year out of all of them?
Daniels, even with that Washington line, like I think Daniels has got a good option. I mean, Penix is probably not even a play.
I don't think Penix will play. I think that the one I'm really interested to see, actually, because even though we're not fans of his as Husky fans, I think Bo Nix in Denver is not a bad choice for them. I think that
Yeah.
he's dude moves the ball. He moves well. He doesn't have to, but when he does, he does. He's got a good arm, and he's literally only lost to the Huskies. I mean, that's like
That's
essentially.
true. Yeah, I mean,
And
he's got a
barely.
pretty tough division, though. I mean,
Well, he's got Kansas City to worry about, and he's got if the LA Chargers ever get their shit straight,
yeah. And the
Raiders are
Raiders,
still,
who knows?
we'll see. Their defense looked good last year. Maybe it'll continue. But
Yeah.
yeah. Moving on to hockey. How are you feeling about the NHL playoffs so far? It's been very much how we thought it would be, where there's a
Yeah.
couple series that were like, yeah, those were going to be
Cakewalks.
runaways. Yeah, but the other ones are very, very tight. Who's playing right now, actually? That's a good question.
Who is playing right now?
Let's see. We can look it up. NHL scores. We've got right now the Avalanche are playing the Jets. They're up 1-0. And the
Yep.
Canucks already beat the Preds, which yuck. They already beat the Predators today, so they're up 2-1 in that series. And the Rangers,
Rangers.
yeah, they're close to clinching this one.
Yeah.
At 3-1 in the Hurricanes as well. Those are the two we thought were going to be probably sweeps or close to it, were the Hurricanes and the Islanders and the Rangers and the Capitals. Patrick Waugh has done some things for the Islanders since taking over, but not quite enough.
They're very inconsistent.
I gotta tell you too, this Jets Avalanche series has been crazy because this one, we're 5 minutes ago in the first period. And you thought this was going to be a Hellebuck having the year he did, right? As
Yep.
probably Vezina winner, I would guess. And you thought, oh, this is going to be a tight series, but it has been goals galore, it feels like, in that series.
Yeah.
Yeah, so very, very
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Gorgiev has been atrocious.
I mean, you look at both games and you say, well, oh my God, Zach wants it. Oh, he's gone. Well, Zach was he did dial in for a minute, and now he's
He's just
gone.
messing with you.
Yeah. but anyways, Gorgiev, he's only let in one less, or he's either let in one less or one more
Yeah.
than Hellebuck, who's the Vezina winner. So it's really been that one of those types of series, you know. I think it's really interesting when we look at the Knights. I picked the Knights to win the Stanley Cup. Actually, me and PK Subban have the same final with the Rangers and the Knights. I think
Nice.
that the Knights have looked really good so far, like you would expect them to look in the NHL playoffs, which is these are guys who come in saying, "Hey, we know how to play in the playoffs, and we're going to show you that why we're the Stanley Cup champions." They're facing a really good Dallas team, and Dallas, as I said, just doesn't have quite that swagger that
Yeah.
the Knights have. Kings and Oilers, I
That's
think
just a chaos.
it is. I mean, both of those teams do not have any idea how to keep how to like they just are so hot and cold, it feels like.
Yeah. Well, it's what happens when you rely on two people in Edmonton, maybe three if you count Hyman.
Well, yeah, Hyman has actually, in fairness to him, he has been a part of the playoffs, being the playoff success so far. You look over to Toronto too; they've managed to keep games close with Boston, but now they've got Nylander coming in. They'll hopefully bolster their side. Not one to usually cheer for a Canadian team, but we want Boston out, or at least I do. So.
Yeah, I honestly don't care. I
Yeah.
want both of them out, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. I think I have them going to the Eastern Conference final against the Rangers, so I'm screwed if they go out against Boston. But yeah, it's but the playoffs, I mean, so far have been like they've been good. Obviously they're battling right now with the NBA playoffs, and I'm probably more than anybody here is the only one that watches, that watches basketball regularly. But in all truth, when you're looking for excitement, like both have been good. But the NBA, I think just because of the drama that's associated with it right now, has a little bit of the edge. The NHL pick up, it really will. But I think that, we've talked about this in regards to soccer too a little bit. Like, I don't think ESPN's doing the greatest job of promoting NHL. And I think that the reason why it did so well on other channels versus and back in the day when it was called
Yeah.
Versus and whatever, I think is because in NBC Sports, because they really focused on it. And right now, if you're ESPN and you know basketball, the NBA playoffs are going to be more popular, why would you be promoting the NHL over it, right? And so it feels a little bit like it's getting washed out. Like we got a lot of promos for it to begin with, but now it's kind of getting washed out a bit. And you and I talked about it too. It's a little weird, I think, for when we used to not have a team in Seattle, it felt like the playoffs were so exciting because it was like, oh my God, it's just whoever,
Yeah.
wins. It doesn't really matter. And now it's like, you're like, okay, now we want to look forward to next year. When does
Yep.
Hextall get, I would imagine he's getting fired because,
Yeah, I mean, you gotta think that he has to be like the struggles that we had throughout the entire season about scoring goals 5-on-5, and he couldn't fix any of it. Yeah, he's
and
gotta be
Fran
out.
and Francis said basically there's going to be discussions. And when you say that, like, come on. If you're like, oh, we're keeping Hextall on, you're saying, oh no, we still believe in Dave. We're still going forward to him. When you're saying, oh, there's going to be discussions, we're going to talk with the coaching, that means to tell me Hextall's gone, I would think.
Yeah, a la Pete Carroll style, right?
Yeah, that's what it really sounded like, right? Except that Pete probably, was done a little more
Dirty.
dirty than Hextall will be. I think Hextall probably knows what's coming, I would think. Again, wish him the best, but it's just let's bring on Dan Bylsma.
Or anybody, to be honest, at this point, just to get
Just get some
some
spark.
motivation.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, looking back again at like at the season, you really and you look at the teams how they're playing right now in the playoffs, right? And some of these teams who we beat and we look good against at times,
Yeah.
and you go, hey, we again, it's we have all the tools. It's just they're not consistent. They're not being used properly. And yeah, so it's
Well, and Seattle is one of those teams we can't rely on one line. We have to have all four lines rolling with the way we're set up. And if one line's not rolling, then we're in trouble. It's as simple as that. Consistency across all four lines was an absolute must with this lineup that he built. So It's going to
And
be interesting.
that's how you have to get through the playoffs anyway. So even if you're a
Yeah.
team who can make it to the playoffs with three lines, you're going to end up like the Capitals or like the Islanders, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing the ESPN is probably pushing is like these first round, some of these first round series are going to be terrible. So why waste the effort for the first round, especially the Cap series and the Islander series.
Yeah, I think the marquee ones right now are definitely, you know, the Knights and the Stars, and then probably the Toronto Boston one just
Yeah,
because of the
absolutely.
hatred there. Or not really the hatred. I mean, Boston and
Yeah,
Montreal are two, but
old six, original six, so.
well, and also the fact that Boston has just had Toronto's number for,
Yeah.
you know, how long? I mean, there's a certain basketball story that follows out right now we'll be getting into in a few minutes here. But yeah, so right now, I mean, currently, you know, the playoffs, I would say right about what I expected, to be
Yeah.
honest. Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing too exciting.
And that's part of the problem, maybe, is that it's kind of predictable right now,
It
right?
is, yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Some other news though with the Kraken.
Yes.
They are now going to be on Prime Video. So I it was funny because in my head I was like, oh cool, I can just stop subscribing to Fubo now. And then I realized, oh shit, the damn Mariners, they own fucking Root.
Yep.
So we're not getting away from that. And I like to watch the Mariners. But yeah, so the Kraken will now be on
Prime.
Prime and also King 5 and Kong. They'll be broadcasting their games as well. And I think that's a really good thing for hockey in the Pacific Northwest because I just think people don't realize how many households still have, even if you're on a streaming service like Hulu or YouTube TV, how many still have network. You know, and they don't want to have to go and, you know, and go get Fubo as well and then look for Root and whatever. So I think, you know, a lot of people still have cable too. So I think it's a good thing for hockey. I think hopefully it'll get to more screens that way. Amazon Prime too. Everybody, I mean, you know, everybody's got it Prime. So
Especially here, Pacific
yeah.
Northwest.
Yeah. So Prime Video, you know, my biggest worry would be is that Thursday Night Football, the streaming on Prime is horribly bad sometimes.
Yeah.
With the, I mean, not as bad as Paramount, which is
Oof.
absolutely awful.
Okay.
Yeah.
NWSL got hosed on that run.
Dude, anything that's on Paramount is like, if it's, I mean, like their shows are, but actually, no, even the shows, like literally, if you go on Paramount, you're trying to watch a show, it'll sometimes just lock up and it won't play the damn thing. Like, I don't know what's wrong with Paramount's. Just get the back end cleaned up, guys.
Well, not only that, their interface is really hard to use. It's kind
It's
of annoying.
horrible. It's so bad. Like, I mean, if I was like, I'm sitting here looking like, you know, I've been on enough like tech, I've worked in a significant amount of tech jobs. I'm like, I don't know how this got passed. Like, you know,
Just lazy. I
yeah.
mean, because they have great shows, because Halo's awesome, and they have access to all the Star Trek shows. But it's like, yeah, they just need
Yep.
to take a cue
Yeah.
from Disney Plus or Hulu or whoever,
I mean,
anybody
honestly,
else.
the best interface, if we're talking about here, we're talking about hockey, but you know, the best interface for streaming, honestly, is YouTube TV. It's the easiest to me. And
Yeah.
they know what you're watching. So the great part is when you're like home or you're like on the home or whatever, it'll show you what it thinks you've watched before. And it's like, you're like, yeah, actually, I would like to watch that. You know,
Yep.
so,
Totally. It's really good. And
yeah.
I like Hulu's. I like the ability to just pull the screen down to
Yeah.
close out that. No other streaming service does it and drives me bonkers. I just want that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, and it's, and they and a lot of great shows out there too. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, so the playoffs though, you know, there's gonna be a lot more exciting stuff coming down the
Yeah.
road. Baseball, tell you what, I don't know who thought we'd be saying this right now, but the Seattle Mariners are currently number one in the AL West. They just beat the reigning champs 2-1 in Texas. They hadn't won in Arlington in quite a while, by the way.
Yeah,
And
we're bad,
they ended up
Texas.
going 2-1. Hey, they had that stupid little jut out that is in the center field,
I remember
and
that.
Mitch Haniger did get caught on that in the second game. That's why one of the reasons we lost the second game. But it's a tough one. That one just bounces and it goes like a pinball. But yeah, the pitching has been phenomenal for the Mariners. They really have picked it up, and they're leading in bullpen, starting ERA. Strikeouts, it's been incredibly good. The
Yep.
pitching has been fantastic. The hitting is still not the greatest. We're still striking out a lot.
Tops in the league per game.
Yeah, which is crazy because everybody's striking out in the league right now.
Yep.
But we but we have got a little bit of help from, Polanco's been playing a little bit better. It's very telling when you see Cal Raleigh out there compared to Ceballos, because when you look at just how the pitchers even react and just in general, Raleigh calls a much better game. I'm just gonna say that. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
and all fairness to Devi, he's only been here for so long. Like, he's probably gonna be just fine as a as the second catcher this year. But
Course.
I'm just saying that the Cal Raleigh, in my opinion, might be the most underrated player at his position in the league. He's been actually a lot of our offense right now. France finally got off the snide this series. But Cal Raleigh's been a good portion of our offense. He's the heart of this team, it feels like, along with Haniger. I mean, I think Haniger's just a good voice.
Yep.
But they're, I was looking at this too. We've got guys who we let go, right? We're thinking, were these bad moves? Eugenio Suarez, who is with the D-backs, he's been slashing 244, 320, and 367 right now. He's only got two home runs on the season. It's not bad. He those are
No.
pretty good numbers, but his strikeout rate is actually up in Arizona. So he's at 25% right now. Marco is actually pitching well for Pittsburgh right now at 2.6 ERA. That's not bad for Marco Gonzalez.
Nope.
Teoscar is he's his strikeout
Smashing
rate
down.
is he's now his well his strikeout rate though is way up again.
Oh, yeah, it's high.
It's actually worse than it was last year. And he's hitting good with five home runs, and he's doing pretty good in LA. Chris Flexen, White Sox, not looking so good. He's at 6.4 ERA.
Yeah.
Tom Murphy's on the IL. Kelnick, this is the one that we thought, oh, he was looking good in the beginning of the season. His last 10 days, he's slashing 143, 250, and 143. He's got zero home runs on the season. Sewald and Campbell are both on the IL. And Tom Murphy is slashing 74, 194, and 111.
Oh man.
Yeah. And it was, I'm sorry, I think I said Tom Murphy earlier. That was Topa, who was on the IL, not Tom
Ah,
Murphy.
yes.
But yeah, so I mean, so, when you look at those numbers, the one I think that stands out probably is the fact that we let go of a guy like Teoscar. There's a few you could say we tried to replace with Garver, and Garver is doing so bad
Oh man,
for the Mariners right
brutally
now. It's
bad.
really bad considering how much we're paying him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the one that stands out as the ugh. And I think the one I would take back if I'm looking at all these numbers that you look at, hey, Teoscar's hitting, he's slugging well. But if you look at it, Eugenio is the one that, even though his strikeout rate's still pretty bad, he is hitting pretty good right now with the D-backs. So, and we're going to see how he goes against us this weekend, because we play the D-backs this weekend. So,
Yeah, we do. We're playing right now.
I mean, yeah, we play the reigning champs of the, well, World Series champs, now the reigning NL champs back to back. So, and then I think we play the Braves.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a
So
rough series here coming up.
come back home to lose. No, I'm kidding. I hope we win,
Yeah.
but
Well, the crazy part with Garver, right? We're paying him $12 million, and we know that Suarez's strikeout rate is what, 25, 26-ish right
yeah,
now.
25%, yep.
Yeah, Garver hitting a .147 with an OPS of 551. His strikeout ratio 33.8% right now.
So he's just below Teoscar's 34%.
Brutal.
And the thing is, Teoscar at least has five home runs, right? So I
Yeah.
think that some people kind of look at the Teoscar, or even look at Mike Ford, which is not really a good comparison because he was our DH. I realize that Garver is a DH, but Mike Ford is actually playing in the minor leagues right now in Cincinnati, and he's absolutely given the minor leagues hell. I'm surprised he hasn't been moved up in Cincinnati, to be honest. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, Garver finally hit a home run at T-Mobile Park today. It's his first career T-Mobile
Oh,
Park
sure.
home run.
That's right. They started. That's right.
Yeah.
Are we leading in the game?
Yes, we're up 2-1.
Okay. Well, let's continue that, Mariners. But yeah, I mean, look, right now is the time when you're looking at Houston on the decline, right? Which is what we have been waiting for so long. And we don't know if this is going to stick, but we hope it does. And you look at the fact that the Rangers, hey, they got to the World Series the way we hope the Mariners would. I mean, we want to dominate, but I mean, but like last year is how we expected the Mariners to get to the World Series, right? Which is that we barely got into the playoffs. I mean, they only were up on us for what, 2 or 3 games or whatever it was last year. Well, they go to the World Series and they win, right? And that's how you expect the Mariners to get there.
Yeah,
And
but they
so
also spent $1 billion on free agents in the 2 previous years.
to win 2 more games than we did, yeah.
Yeah, and but still win the World Series.
That's
We didn't
true.
even get in the playoffs.
But if you all things considered, you go, okay, well, similar, right? Like the Rangers and the Mariners, similar teams, right? In the sense of
Yeah.
wins. The A's we think are bad, yet they just beat the Yankees yesterday. But then again, the Yankees aren't that great, I guess. I don't know.
Baseball's weird.
The Angels are, I don't know, they're not good. You know, I mean, like
Yeah.
this really is comes down to if the Mariners can stay ahead of the Rangers, the Mariners win the series or win the division, in my opinion. And so the question will be for the Mariners is, can you continue to stay ahead of the Rangers? Because I don't think that the other teams are going to factor much.
I mean, who knows? I mean, Houston still has a high amount of talent. Whether they're getting older or not, they're getting healthier again. So it should be interesting that they may make a run. Obviously, I think Oakland's going to continue to fade. Angels have nobody except for Trout, and Trout won't last 100
Yeah.
games. So, yeah, I mean, Seattle has to come back, and we have to beat Oakland, we have to beat LA, and we have to beat Houston, which we've historically struggled with. So who knows? This team is so inconsistent. I mean, it's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, it's you. I'm trying to, as I do probably every year, I'm trying to look at the positive and go, okay, look, we are, we're getting into a groove. We've won 3 series in a row. The offense isn't where we want it to be, but the pitching is exactly where we thought it would be. And so you just hope that we can hold on to that and then have this year where maybe we just kind of cruise along and around those first 2 spots for a while and at least keep winning series or, or try or getting close to it. The problem that I think I always worry about is actually right now what we're is really right now is coming back home. Sometimes we seem to get on a roll on the road and then we
Yeah.
come back home and we disappoint the fans horribly, So
Yeah.
I don't
I mean,
know.
look, our last road trip went to some pretty hitter-friendly parks. So
Yeah, I mean that's true. Texas is a hitter-friendly park.
Cincinnati is pretty hitter-friendly.
Cincinnati, we did go Colorado,
Colorado is pretty hitter-friendly.
very hitter-friendly, but I will say we did play in all fairness in the snow in Colorado.
And
And
that's fair. It's true, but just saying.
Oh yeah, no, it's still hitter-friendly and we proved that. But yeah, it's interesting looking around the league right now. I mean, you look at a lot of top hitters when you look at, for instance, Aaron Judge, like, I mean, he's getting booed in the Bronx now. This is a dude who had, a whole section there, right? The, I don't know, whatever they do with the judge, the they have a name for it. They try to be like us, but for Aaron Judge there. And now they're booing him because he like struck out 4 times in a game. I think he struck out like 7 times in 2 games or something. Like he's, and it's probably more than that if you zoom out. But a lot of these sluggers are we're trying to up the amount of offense. And yet they're having a struggle. Shohei's finally, now he's looking like the Shohei we expected, right? I think he's third in the league in hitting right now. So
Yeah, he's mashing.
yeah, like so Shohei's got no problems. Even the issues outside of baseball don't seem to be affecting him too much. They were even already talking about today, when getting on the mound might start happening. So I mean, like if I were the Dodgers, I would say let's not even worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, build up his arm strength a bit or whatever,
Absolutely. Yeah.
but that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, get him some, maybe start to see if he throws, in practice or whatever. But I mean, like, if the dude's mashing, he's worth what you're paying him because you've deferred all this money for, what, 25 years or something. So,
Yeah, for a long time.
yeah. So it's like, if he's mashing, let him mash, guys. I mean, that's, hey, I'd be more than happy with that. So
Yeah, he's been really good for me.
that's right. He's on your team. So, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I did take him, first overall, so I hope he's doing something for me.
Oh, James took Julio.
Yeah.
So Julio's had a rougher start, but the dude, I tell you what though, that kid's got heart. So I will we'll hold on to that because He got his first home run the other day, and he did not let go of that trident. It was very close to him. So let's hope he continues to want to feel that more and more. But yeah, baseball is it's kind of a fun mixed bag right now as well. I wouldn't really honestly say there's anything that stands out a whole lot besides the fact that Chicago White Sox are absolutely horrible.
Oh, they're atrocious.
They're on pace right now to set the record and then some for the most losses in a season, and that's I think over 121 losses, I
Oh,
believe.
it's and I think weren't they the one of the ones that had one of the most losses?
It's probably close. It's really bad. The White Sox are horrible. Anybody, I mean, I would be so stoked to be in the AL Central because whoever gets to play them multiple times a year, my God, that's like almost what, 14, whatever it is, 20 guaranteed wins. My God.
Yeah, I mean they're 4-22, which is
Oh, they actually won a
incredibly
fourth.
bad.
God, because they were
Yeah.
a three for a while. God, that's so bad. Like, this is historically, oh, that's worse than the start from the A's last year.
Well, and I thought the Rockies were going to be bad, but they've actually won 7 games.
Yeah. And then the truth is they probably wouldn't have we played well in that series. If it
We did.
wasn't for that back to back, which makes things a little bit weirder because we had to postpone the first game and have the
Yeah.
back to back doubleheader. We only lost that game 2-1. It's not like that was a, that Colorado blew us out in that one. It just was a weird game.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that Miami only has six wins is kind of shocking, honestly.
Miami, dude, I tell you, that team is, they're just born to lose, it feels like. Sleigh
Rough.
bells reference. But anyway, I guess we could probably,
Oh, Tampa Bay just lost to Chicago today.
no fucking way,
That was
seriously.
for their fourth win. It
For
was
their fourth
today.
win, I would hate to be Tampa Bay right now. Embarrassing. Now I'll say that and watch us play Chicago, and it'll be like they'll sweep us.
It wouldn't shock me.
I'm choosing to be very positive about the Mariners
And that's fine. I'm just saying it wouldn't shock me. I'm not saying that they
right
will. I'm just saying it could happen.
now. Let's go ahead and jump to basketball. Nope, soccer. My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, can you hear that, by the way? Can you hear the music in the background?
Not.
Okay, because that's good, because my Alexa decided to start playing, so I'm just gonna ignore that's happening. Sounders news. Javier Arriaga, he is been traded to the Revs.
Yeah.
He was a part of our, I believe, every cup we've won, 2016, 2019, and the 2022 CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah.
And sad to see him go. It did
Yeah.
start to look more and more like he wasn't going to be a part of this team. But then again, it's also weird when we traded him because of the fact that we're a little bit actually
Then.
thin at center back. So it's definitely, though, it is a little bit, yeah, it's a little bit bittersweet. He was definitely a personality too.
Yeah.
Goes to the Revs and we get, I believe, an international spot,
For
and
2025, and I think 75,000 GAM.
yeah, 75,000 GAM. Yeah, so
Yeah. So not a ton of return. I mean, decent amount of return. And we'll end up probably trading that 2025 international pick for cash anyway.
probably that's what we usually do. It's going to be interesting though when you look at that move. It does suggest that we're going to make some sort of move come summer transfer,
Oh,
and
yeah.
in history. We've been more active at the summer transfer than we are at the off-season transfer, and that's usually. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen Nicolò Lodero turn around the team. We've seen Raúl Ruidíaz turn around the team as a mid-season transfer. So it'll be interesting to see what we do this year because something's. You were at the game, the Cascadia matchup, Seattle and Vancouver. That was a very, very chaotic game. It felt like.
Oh,
How long is Alex going to be out, by the way, with
I
that?
don't know. At least one, but I don't know if he's had this hearing yet.
I feel like what I've heard is that he's in pretty deep doo-doo. But
Yeah.
he had an out of character sort of thing happen in that game, gets a red card. I will say this much. I didn't see the game in real time and I wasn't there. But the first motion by Jackson Reagan the first red card. There were two red cards against Seattle in that game.
Yep.
I thought this is no way in hell this was yellow. No way in hell it was red, of course. Watching it over, I don't know if it was totally deserving of a straight red, but I'm definitely not as against it as I was to begin with. He does step on the calf. It is studs up. I think
But it's
yellow
just,
would have sufficed. But
I
yeah.
mean, yellow, sure. Red, that's tough. I mean, to be honest, he's not looking down to step on the guy. He's looking for the ball.
Yeah.
And the guy kind of stops, half
Yeah.
stops, and so he just kind of shoves him down. To me, that's incidental.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a foul. Yeah, it's probably yellow. But there's
Yeah.
no intent to injure. It didn't look like it was excessive force. I don't know. It was a little rough. Now, Alex is, yeah, definitely a red.
Yeah.
It was bad.
No,
I could see three games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's kind of the thought is that he's going to be gone for a few. Might not be the worst thing. He's been a little bit off this year, so maybe that's, you know, something we'll see kind of.
Yeah, I'll see what Cody Baker can do.
Right. But yeah, I mean, definitely it's just disappointing. I mean, look, the Whitecaps are second in the West, right? So it's not like this is a bad team that we lost to. But we also want to be one of the best teams. Like, I mean, on paper, everybody was looking at LAFC and Sound and the Sounders being like, hey, these are your two best teams in the West. And neither one of them have really shown that. Right now, you're looking at the Galaxy and you're looking at the Whitecaps as being the two best. Now, mind you, the LAFC, they have a midseason, it looks like, transfer ready. I think they've completed, actually, the paperwork for the transfer of Olivier Giroud. French international and just, you know, one of the best players in the world for, you know, when he was at his best. You know, that'll be interesting to see where LA goes from there. They're definitely nothing special this year. Columbus, you know, is they're kind of pulling the Sounders in 2022 where it's like, oh, hey, let's go and play hard at Champions League. I believe they're leading Monterey. I think in that series, that kind of the Champions League series.
I'm not sure.
I want to say 2-1. I could definitely look it up though. And you know, and it's actually the Rebel in New York on the Eastern Conference, the New York Rebels, and Philadelphia Union, who are actually having a good year. Yeah, Columbus did beat Monterey 2-1 on the
Nice.
24th. So, you know, it's. They're doing what the Sounders did in 2022. Now there's a part of me that's, you know, kind of, you know, wants to clutch what the Sounders did and hold it tight and be like, you
Right.
know, let's not do this again, MLS. Let's just keep this, the Sounders being the only team. But Columbus definitely following that sort of path and it might work out for them. So,
yeah, it might. I mean, kind of hope it does a little bit, but not at the same time. Like I want, the world needs to show that MLS really, truly
that's true.
can be a world stage and bring these players in, not past their prime, like a Gareth Bale or Olivier Giroud. But you know, the Sounders themselves are struggling mightily. I don't know, man. It's a little crazy how this team has kind of just imploded on itself.
They've imploded, but there's also this where when you look at the. You know, when you look at the games, right? Which I mean, yeah, there's a few where you go, oh my God, what were they thinking, right? But when you look at the scores and you look at how they played and you go, it's not like this team is just overall bad. They really are just missing that killer instinct in that final third. And once they get that, it's going to be just fine. But it definitely is like, when do we get that person? And you know, the small sample size we saw Pedro de la Vega, it was like, oh, this is happening. This is the guy we needed. But then when he goes out, which was the gamble we took because we knew he had injury problems when he was playing in South America. And when when he goes out, you go, oh crap. Well, now when we're looking ahead, it's now, do we get somebody else who can also provide that spark? Cause we really truly need that spark, heading into, you know, the second part of this. I mean, cause look, it's only going to take a good run of wins to get into the playoffs, right? Because the MLS playoffs are pretty large for as small as the league is, especially with essentially play-in games, basically. And so, so we only need so much to get there. But you know, they've got, well, they play Washington or DC. They play them this
Tomorrow.
weekend. I
Yep.
don't know how DC's playing this year, but I don't think it's great.
They're okay.
So you hope we get at least a point on the road, but really hopefully we get three. And then when you look ahead to the week after, I believe it's the Galaxy. So we end up having to play
Yeah.
first place in the West. And so it's not an easy schedule right now either, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, and to be honest, Seattle could have easily gotten a draw, taken a point out of that Vancouver game.
Yeah.
It was two really poor plays from our center backs.
Yeah.
A really terrible trying to attempt through ball from Yamar, which was easily picked off and turned around real quick.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Javier trying to dribble through two defenders up his own 18. And those two plays cost us the game. I mean, at the end of the day, we could have drawn, even with both red cards, even though I don't think that first one's a red card.
Well, it was nil nil before the first red card, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that Vancouver scored both goals with us a man down. So, and it was pretty early. So, yeah, so we'll see. You know, we'll see how they can rebound. They've got two guys out, but now the question is, I mean, center back right now, because you got Reagan out. Javi has been traded. So you'll have probably at center back, it'll be who's gonna be there with
Well, don't we play Philly here?
No, we play DC this weekend, I think.
Oh, that's right. It'll be Yamar
Yeah,
and
well, yeah, of course, yeah.
probably Nathan.
Okay, if Nathan's feeling better, yeah.
He's got to be at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, worst case scenario, we put Atencio back at center back.
Yeah.
Or we emergency sign somebody from Tacoma.
Yeah. I mean, Reagan will be that guy. We know that
Yeah.
once he's he'll be there on against the Galaxy, but yeah. PSG, by the way, they are in a different league. They're on the verge of got their 12th title since, I believe, no, it's 10th title since 2012, but their 12th title in league. And yeah, so it's the dominance there, not quite the same as Bayern Munich, but it's close. They've had a couple years in there where they lost, but yeah, they're on the verge. I believe they're one win away from taking home the league title. And I think Leverkusen's close to that as well in Bundesliga. But as we talked about last week, still a close race in the Premier League. But
Yeah.
yeah, interesting thing when you look at PSG, that's dominance right there. So
Yeah.
yeah. So anybody who tunes in. We will see also that in La Liga, obviously you got Real Madrid who's going to be in the semis for CONCACAF Champions League, but you know, they've gotten a lot. That league's actually, it's funny because ESPN, I believe, got the rights to La Liga thinking that Cristiano Ronaldo was still going to be there and other players are still going to be there. Then they all left for the Saudi League, or
Yeah.
other leagues. And but La Liga's actually, it's not. It's I think it's actually more fun than it used to be. It used to be, you know, kind of a two team race, and don't get me wrong, it's still close, you know, it's still those two teams are still up there, but
Yeah, of course.
you still have Atleti up there as well, and so yeah, but yeah, otherwise we got the NBA playoffs, they are also underway as we talked about, and I chose today to put on my Pau Gasol jersey to show that
Oh
even
man.
though NBA teams are, I believe, 0-151, I believe is the number. It might be 152, but I think it's 151. 0-151 while going down 3-0
Yep.
in a series. I'm gonna say that it's gonna be 1-151 after this because God knows the Lakers can go to Denver and win, right? That's not a pipe dream at all. They
I
have
mean,
this.
the question is, can they do it twice?
Exactly. This is the funny part about the Lakers. So they get their next game in LA. You'd hope that for some the sake of pride, they have lost, I believe, is it 10 straight games or more than that now to the Nuggets. But the
Yeah.
crazy part is, if you look at this, I talked about how close last week, how close their series was in terms of points scored in each game. The Lakers in this series have led by 12, as much as 12 in the first game, 20 in the second game, and once again 12 last night. Well, they've been hitting double digits all three games, only to lose each game. And everybody's going, why? Who's to blame? When you look at, you know, the fact that AD and LeBron are looking good together, they're playing hard, but you look at D'Lo and you say D'Lo is not quite pulling his weight. He did for one game, and it was, I believe, the second game, the one they lost still. And so you can blame D'Angelo Russell a little bit there. I don't think Austin Reaves has been quite what he was in the in season tournament or just regular season in general. I don't think Austin Reaves has looked quite as good in the playoffs. You know, the bench has definitely had problems. Torrey Prince and what I go down the list, they've had problems compared to other teams. But I also just want to say, in all fairness to Denver, these guys are just a whole different team. I mean, it's just a whole different level of competitiveness and a whole different level of skill. When you watch Jokic, who doesn't look like he should be able to play the way he does, but I mean, like, when it comes to crunch time, right? And the Lakers are trying to hold on to that double digit lead that they have. It just, Jokic's like, okay, well, try and stop me, guys. Like, I mean, he just comes in and he scores. He takes what he wants.
Well, I mean, in that game two, dude had a triple double, 27, 20, and 10.
Yeah.
Like, that's get out of here.
Yeah. And you got Murray, who scores the Jamal Murray, who scores that buzzer beater, first buzzer beater, by the way, in Denver Nuggets history, playoff history, I believe. And scores that buzzer beater that was, in my opinion, that was the heartbreaker for the Lakers. Like, here you are, you're up by 20, as much as 20 at one point in this game. You've led basically until the last minute and a half. And boom, the dagger over Anthony Davis, nonetheless. And again, and buzzer beater to win by two. I mean, the way that Denver plays. Look, I'm not going to say they're going to sweep every team on their way to the finals, but when you watch how they play, this team is just really, really good. Like, they're really, really good. And they have a, you know, they, and they have guys who are showing up. They're third scorers, and that are, you know, when you look at the Lakers, they've got AD and they've got LeBron, and then it's a question mark. You know, we love Spencer Dinwiddie for being the personality that he is, and you want to be back without, and he wanted to be on the Lakers for his whole life. But, you know, but he doesn't contribute. You know, I mean, there literally needs to be, you know, Jeanie Buss and you know, and Darvin Ham. They have to be looking at it and saying, we need to get another star, because LeBron is only going to be here for what, maybe a year or two more, if that. You know, probably a year for sure, but two, we'll see. You've got to attract a better, you know, they got to attract more talent there, because, you know, Kuzma was on the upswing, he's gone. You know, you have players who just ended up going to different teams, and also losing out on guys like Kawhi. Like, even, you know, there was even talks with Kevin Durant being, you know, courted, so to speak, for the Lakers, and we just didn't get those guys. And so, yeah, we'll see, but it's been exciting. Otherwise, I mean, you're looking at the Celtics, they get beat by the Heat. That was, you know, that was just funny, considering that people think the Celtics are unstoppable.
I hate the
Dallas,
Celtics so much.
I know, and Dallas just beat the Clippers tonight, I believe, to take a 2-1 lead in that series. You've got the Pacers, who, you know, Haliburton is turning up right now. You got the Sixers. Joel Embiid is playing on one foot, literally. Like, he's playing on one foot. He's got Bell's palsy right now. Everybody thought he was looking down and sad when he was, like, had his head down in the press conference. No, he's like half of his face, he can't move right now. That's why he was, like, his head was down. He said he's blurring his vision. He has to put eye drops in so his eyes don't get dry, because he can't move his eye. The dude's playing with Bell's palsy with one foot, and he's getting it done for the Sixers. Mind you, the
That's
Nets.
ridiculous.
Right. Mind you, the Knicks are still winning that series 2-1, but a lot of people would argue that second game, actually, no, not even just argue, the referees, they admitted that there was that there were two absolutely horrible calls that went the way of the Knicks and helped them win that game. So, you know, Embiid said after that game was, we're gonna win this series. Like, don't worry, you know. We should have won that game. We're gonna win this series. So, crazy storylines there with Embiid. It's just, yeah, it's something else. And And still you got like the Thunder are playing well with young guys like Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, but New Orleans is not the powerhouse.
They're not, but it's gonna be fun the more we move on from here. The only thing I'll say is that the East, which looked more top heavy, I think might have a better chance of upsetting the favorite. Looking at how Boston plays in the playoffs, I just, and maybe it's just because stylistically, because let's be real, matchups make games, right?
Yeah,
And
totally.
so Denver could run into somebody, maybe Oklahoma. I'd have to look back at the history of how they play them this season. But even though the Lakers can play the Nuggets well for 90% of the game, for some reason, stylistically, Denver can just take a hold of the Lakers and go, all right, this is done, guys. You're out of here. And so, chances are, as much as I'm trying to put on a brave face, they're going to lose this next game, possibly in LA. I think there will be a pride factor there, but I got to be honest with you. I just think Denver's too good. I honestly think that even in that game, they're going to come by and just be like, yeah, we're going to beat you by 2 points, 3 points. We don't really need to do more than that because we know we can do it. And I think that when they move on, also we'll see how they match up against teams like the Thunder. And like potentially the Mavericks. I think the Mavericks are better than people realize. I think that's a team that could possibly shock somebody.
Yeah, totally.
But I mean, we'll see. But I gotta be honest with you, the Nuggets just look like the team. It's a little bit different than the Dubs, just because the Dubs were doing it from the perimeter. And it's not that the Nuggets can't do that, but also, like, Jokic will beat you in the paint bad. Like, I mean,
Oh yeah. He'll just push people out of the way.
he pushed people out of the way, and you're sitting there going, he's kind of off balance. He's not going to make this. And you're like, nope, of course he does. Like, you don't see him miss is the crazy part. Like, and the funny part is you look at his face and you're like, does he even enjoy this? Like, I mean,
Nice board.
he's like, yeah, I mean, like, I think he's just bored. I mean, I will say the commercial, I don't know if you've seen the commercial with him. Where he talks about how he dressed up in the suit and everybody called him Gru from I've never seen the movie, but from Despicable Me.
Yeah.
I didn't expect him to like actually be able to act out because a lot of we're hockey fans, right? And they sometimes have just really dry, horrible personalities. They're just not good at that shit. Baseball is pretty good. Football has its times, but like I mean, you we're so used to seeing like really awkward acting performances. I gotta give it to Joker. Hilarious. He actually like really acts it out well in that. And so, yeah, I mean, dude can do a lot of things, including, as we talked about, he's also a horse whisperer. So,
Yeah, he is. I mean, I still think he wins MVP.
oh, I mean, you can't count the playoffs, but they're in. Yeah, when you watch the playoffs, though, you go, come on. I mean, this guy is not even close. It's, I mean,
Yeah.
you want to give it to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but it's just not the level of it's just, it's so weird. It's like watching, I don't know. It's like watching somebody who just looks nothing. He never should be playing like he's playing. And it's not like a body shaming thing or anything like that. Like, dude's big. It's just weird when you look at him. He doesn't look like he loves the game. He doesn't even look like he's really playing that hard. But he
No.
manages to be the best player out on the court. It's crazy.
Makes it easy. He makes it look easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's insanity. I mean, even if you're looking at other, people from a similar part of the world, like Luka Doncic and whatnot, they're
Yeah.
also great, but like Luka has his times, like he actually looks like he has to fight for something. Whereas it's like it literally is his job. Joke it. It's not like you don't see this like passionate, oh my God, ball is life. It's just like, this is my job.
Yep. I'm
This is
here to
my
make some
job. I'm
money
gonna
and then go home.
get in some buckets and then I'm gonna go home to
Have a
my
beer.
horses. Yeah, exactly. It's insane. I would say they'd be my favorites to win the back-to-back championships. And when you're looking at possible teams who might, spoil, I think really I would look at the Dallas Mavericks. And then I would look at in the East, I think there's actually a lot of potential spoiling. I mean, Boston obviously still is going to be the favorite, but I think that keep an eye on the Pacers. Keep an eye on, I mean, I know that those series are close, but keep an eye on the Pacers. The Heat are always fun. You know, I mean, if they get enough heat under the
I like the Heat over Boston.
I would
Honestly,
love
like
that if that
I
happened
could
again. Because
a back-to-back
playoff Jimmy's not
season,
even
that'd be
there.
great. It's awesome.
Playoff Jimmy's not even there, but the
I
spirit of
know.
playoff Jimmy is.
That's all that matters, right? Like they're doing it for Jimmy. Like
No, absolutely. But yeah, good.
that dude is the greatest.
I love Jimmy Butler. Absolutely, probably one of my favorite athletes out there. He's great.
I wish when Seattle gets our franchise back, because it's a matter of time, because we will.
Yeah, it's happening this year, I would think.
And I would love it if Jimmy Butler would come to
Oh,
Seattle.
absolutely.
It would be
Absolutely.
epic.
If they gave us a choice between Kevin Durant or Jimmy Butler, I'm like, Jimmy Butler, come on.
100%. Just, I mean, not that KD, I would love KD to come.
I
Yeah, I
do
mean, they
too.
both would come. So,
Yeah.
but
Well, Katie wants to, yeah.
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 But that's crazy.
I'm gonna look here quick. You auto drafted,
I
but
did.
we decided this year we're doing eight of us. We're doing a WNBA fantasy. I still don't have a name for my team. I gotta take care of that. But yeah, so that the WNBA season starts on the 14th of May. And my first pick, I think this is a pretty solid pick. I picked Sabrina Ionescu, and to me that is, I would say, as good of a first pick as you can get.
Yeah.
I've also got Skylar Diggins-Smith from the gotta have at least one Storm player on there. I've got Cheyenne Parker. I've got Candace Parker. I've got Kalani Brown. I've got Courtney Vandersloot. And I've got starting right now Natasha Cloud, and then on my bench so far, but obviously it'll change, Lexi Brown, and we got JC Sheldon and Ari McDonald. So that's my team. This will be a first for all of us. This is the first time my mom has played in a fan. Well, I mean, unless you count the Fantasy Masters, which is way different. My mom got Stewie though, so I mean
And she
that's not a
won.
bad first pick either. So
Yeah.
yeah, my first time my mom's playing fantasy sports, she was really happy to see she got Stewie. She did auto pick as well because she had to take care of her she has some pets that she had to take care of. And so yeah, but so you auto drafted, she auto drafted, Adrian auto drafted, I manually drafted. So we will see if
Yeah.
I think James, I was on the call with James and Zach for that, or I guess it was it Zach too? Yeah, I mean, I think it was James, Zach, and myself, and Vanessa, and Luke, and James is like, well, you know way more about the NBA than all of us. I'm like, that means I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
Now that you've said that, I'm losing. I will be last place in the WNBA fantasy.
Yeah. So my draft, I did auto draft, but I came out with in the first round Asia Wilson, and Chelsea Gray in the second. So apparently I'm Vegas
Dude,
heavy.
Asia Wilson and Chelsea Gray in the first and second. Fuck.
Yeah. And then
Good Lord.
Kaylee Copper as my guard in the third round, and then Jonquel Jones in the fourth. So I actually I'm pretty happy with this draft, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, the nice thing about WNBA is if you're getting, a few really good picks in the first and second round, they can carry your team. I mean,
Yeah.
Sabrina Ionescu, Courtney Vandersloot. I'm happy with both of those. I mean, hey, look, Skylar Diggins-Smith as well, Candace Parker. Candace is, a little bit more of a question mark. I say this just because of all the great players who are on the Aces,
Yeah.
but yeah. Kelsey Plum, I believe that James got Kelsey Plum.
Yeah. First round.
And so he was very stoked by that. I've been trying to get Kelsey Plum from him, but he's wants Courtney Vandersloot, and he also wants no, actually, he won't let me have Kelsey Plum. He says she's not touchable. So,
I'm okay with my team. I'm a little heavy at center, which is weird because I have Breonna Jones and Elizabeth Williams, and Sha'Carri Austin is injured for now. But so I'm pretty deep at center. I might think about moving one of them for a guard.
You'll want
Other,
to, because it's like we don't even need, you don't even need to have a center in this league.
yeah.
It's a forward or center position, and I mean right now I do have one center with Kalani Brown, I'll possibly change as somebody wants to. Who I wanted was Camila Cardozo, even though I know it's her first season. I think she's going to be great. Jonathan's got Camila, obviously, because, dude, South Carolina. But yeah, I wanted her. End up getting Camila Brown. I'm okay with that. We'll see how she does. But yeah, May 14th, the beginning of the WNBA season, should be exciting. We've talked about it. I thought that Radamita Rachel, I forget her last name, but she's a pretty popular basketball personality on Instagram. She did a really good job of breaking it down. We want to see when we see somebody who up the level of Caitlin Clark and even Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso. We want to see them get paid like they deserve it.
Yeah, for
There
sure.
was a great breakdown by Rachel where she was like talking about, hey, this is essentially Victor Wembanyama. If you're going by percentages, Caitlin Clark and Victor are getting paid the same percentage wise. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that doesn't mean that when you look at the Nike sponsorship, which I think you have to take in effect the fact that Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese both sold way more jerseys than anybody has in WNBA.
Way more.
Yeah, that you have to look at that and go, if you're, it's not so much about the league what they're paying her, but the fact that she's getting paid, I believe, like a $28 million contract with Nike for a shoe, whereas Victor Wembanyama is going to be, it's going to be somewhere around the 100 million mark. I think that I'm not saying it was going to hit the 100, but I think Caitlin could definitely have been bumped up. It's 28 million for 8 years. That's a long time. That comes out to, about three, under 3 million a year. But what Rachel did a really good job of saying at the end of her video was, don't forget, it's great to be advocating for these women getting paid on social media, but you also we need th these are fun games. They're fun games to watch. These women ball out. They're extremely good at what they do. You have to tune in. And then, mind you, there needs to be better marketing for it. I totally get that, but like, there's no reason not to. The Aces are fucking incredible to watch.
Yeah.
The they're
Liberty.
they're a super team. Liberty are great to watch with Breonna Stewart. And so, but you got to do that. The truth is in this case, and is that the demographic is still more men than women right now who watch the WNBA. And that needs to change as well, because literally we need to inspire lots of not just young girls, young boys too, but we need to see those numbers come up so that we can. And that's the only thing I would have loved to have seen with Caitlin Clark's contract is that, hey, you could potentially bring a lot of more viewers to the WNBA. And I don't know sure if they're allowed to do that, if legally you can do that, but I would have said we can relook at this contract if viewership goes up X amount, right?
Yeah.
If revenue comes in that, that it goes up with the same percentage as what the men's would. I think that would be something to look into, because she 100% should be making what Wembanyama's making, at least in percentage, but hopefully more. And
Yeah, I for sure. I agree. Again, it comes down to viewership though, right? So if for those of you that are complaining, if we aren't watching the games, they're not going to get paid.
exactly.
It's plain and simple.
And they're worth watching. I mean, like, I say this as I'm not trying to, like, I'm just saying that, like, as a guy who watches WNBA games, the only other people I know who watch WNBA games are, for the most part, besides like one person, are guys. And and then that's and I want to see everybody start watching it, guys.
Yeah.
Everybody. And so I would love to see more, because the games are fun. My gosh. Could you think of a better place to go watch basketball than Climate Pledge Arena? Go watch the Storm, for crying out loud, people, if you live in Seattle.
So fun.
It's so much fun. And basketball, I'm a fan of so many different sports. You're a fan of so many different sports. But I can tell you right now, there are some sports that are great to watch on TV, and they're great to be there because of the atmosphere in person. But maybe it's better to watch on TV. I can tell you this much. I love watching basketball on TV, but I've been to a Storm game. They got killed in the game I saw them at, because that was before, it was right before the pandemic. So it was like not 2019, and then everything kind of went in, and then they had to play different places. They had to play like at a few different spots. Some they didn't allow enough people, or they didn't allow so many people for a few of the games. And so I haven't been to a game since then. But I'm planning on going to one this year, or more, hopefully more than just one. And but when you go, like when I went to the Lakers game at in LA, it's basketball is a party. I mean, it seriously is. Like
It
there's music going on while the game's going on at some of the arenas.
is.
There's, you know, the crowd, the PA really gets into it. So much fun. Go to a WNBA game. We don't have the Sonics back in Seattle, so please go to a Storm game. They're fantastic to watch. We've got, I mean, you're going to see, if you go there, Jewell Loyd, the league's top scorer. You're going to
Yep.
see Skylar Diggins-Smith, Nika Agumike. Come on.
Ezzy.
Yeah. I mean, and Nika, by the way, Nika Mühl, our draft pick this year, who is already just beloved in Seattle now. It feels like she's loving Seattle. Seattle seems to love her. By gosh, why not go to a game? It's honestly, you can get like courtside seats right now until it gets popular with the Caitlin Clark effect, or you know, that popular, right?
Yeah.
You can get courtside seats for pretty good price on the damn court. You don't get that in the
No.
NBA. I think I would have paid like $1,000 to see the Lakers
It
on
would have been
the
more than that.
well, I mean, I'm talking lower. I was
Oh.
Hey, there's not a bad seat, honestly. I mean, I'll say that. I thought it was going to be too far away. It was
No.
great, but
That was great.
I paid 80 for my ticket and it was
That was not
spectacular.
bad.
But if you want to get down closer, you're talking 800, 1,000, and yeah, I mean, you're probably talking 3 to 4 to be on the court side, maybe more. I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's not in my budget.
Yeah, for the lake show, it's probably like 10 grand.
Well, when you got like, you know, it's, you know, all the big celebrities down there, like, you know,
Yep.
they keep it pretty expensive.
Yeah. I mean, Storm games are great. I mean, the last game I went to was the playoff series, Sue Bird's final season against the Aces. I mean, Kelsey Plum and Chelsea Gray and Asia Wilson put on a show.
It's a hell of a game to be at, man.
Yeah,
Even though
it
we
was
got
great.
beat, but
Yeah, we did. But it was such a fun game, and you know, I do need to get back to more games, but it is a bit of a trek up to Seattle, so you just got to make some time.
nah, we're
But
going to a
it's
game this year,
absolutely worth
man.
it.
We're going to a
Absolutely
game
worth
this year.
it.
Yep, I'll make sure we do. Yeah, it's but yeah, definitely it's gonna be fun to see how the WNBA fantasy goes as well. First time, so it'll be exciting. First time you've done basketball in general. I do NBA, but
Yeah, I haven't done a basketball league in well over a decade, so
I finished ninth in my league, NBA, so
I might finish ninth out of eight teams in this league, so we'll see what
ninth
happens.
out of eight. Moving on to surfing, we've got actually a little bit of a break in WSL schedule. I believe Tahiti is coming up in the middle of May, somewhere around there. So we do have winners though from Margaret River. Jack Robinson and Gabriella Bryan were the champions in Margaret River. I've got a little bit of good news this week for my fantasy team. This week or this past and actually yeah this the Shiseido Tahiti Pro starts on May 22nd, so we got a little ways to go
Oh yeah,
before we get to that
month
one. But
almost.
Margaret River though, my fantasy team, I'm in the San Clemente Surfers, as you all know. This event, Margaret River, I was sixth,
Wow, nice
so
job.
not bad. Had a pretty good I had Jack Robinson winning. He got over 200 points for me,
Oh
so
wow, nice.
That was a good pick for me. I have moved up a few spots. I'm now 17th
Whew.
in the in the group. So the next stop will be Tahiti. That will be, I'm guessing, very close to where they're going to be, if not the venue for the Summer Olympics coming up in Paris, even though they're going to be surfing in Tahiti. So but yeah. So that is surfing. We also, dude, this was the crazy thing that happened.
Holy
What
shit,
the
right?
fuck? So boxing, Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney last week,
Man.
and we thought that there was no way in hell Garcia, we didn't think he was gonna show up to the fight.
Yeah.
Didn't think that he stood a chance against Haney. Haney's a technician. Haney repeatedly said all Ryan Garcia has is his left hook. The problem is, well, I will say this, he's right. The problem is that left hook put him down multiple times, three, I believe, three times, probably one, probably more than that. But the referee said a slip on a couple of them. I was like, oh, I don't think so. I think he got clipped in that too. So Devin Haney can say all he wants. All Ryan Garcia had was his left hook, but that left hook put him down multiple times. There was one judge, I believe, who had this fight draw. I don't know where the hell they're coming from. I gotta be honest. Like, I mean, I understand that Devin Haney did win a good portion of the middle rounds when Garcia sort of, after he knocked him down, he kind of laid off of him a bit. Haney went back to the boxing that he usually does. But there was no way watching this fight with how cautious that Haney was. I had it. I only think I had four rounds going to Haney. And then you got to take 3 points away for I mind you, Garcia did get a point deducted as well for legal. I forget what it was. It was for something he was doing illegally. And there does have to be something addressed. I will say this, but this is not why Haney lost. Something that does need to be addressed is that Garcia is one of a few boxers who does a shoulder roll. One, if you're a trainer, start teaching your guys to look for the shoulder roll, because the other fighter, the other boxer will drop their head two down. They'll turn over to their side, drop their head down, right? I know I'm doing it on camera, I don't have to, but they'll do that. And if you know that their head's going down, you're coming up to meet it, right? And then boom, lights out. There's also a thing where, look, they turn their back, so beat to the kidneys. I mean, seriously, like, just go at that. They're, you know, you're not supposed to hit to the back, but if they're going to give you their back, then go to the kidneys, right? Like, that's what you should be doing. But also, don't turn your back in the ring. Like, this needs to be looked at. It's like, do not, the shoulder roll, in my opinion, should not exist in that way. You should be warned if you're continually essentially turning your back to, like, it's okay to have defense, but the shoulder roll, in my opinion, needs to go. It's a chicken way out. It's kind of like, you know, Tank likes to do this thing. Gervonta Davis, he likes to do this thing where he likes to grab at the waist, sort of, and then kind of like yank somebody sort of down. It feels like kind of like tire them out. And we know, like, hey, fighters do these kinds of things, gamesmanship all the time. You know, they'll, if there's a taller fighter, they'll lean on the shorter fighter. But all that being said, Garcia, apparently he claims, what you can believe with him, I don't know. He claims that Floyd Mayweather told him, take the extra 3 pounds. It doesn't matter. I mean, which is so fucking dumb. But Floyd did it once and won that fight easily. It's really, really strange. It was a really strange fight because it's just not at all how I expected it to end. And you know, Haney wants the rematch. I gotta be honest with you, watching it, I look at it and I go, I don't know if I'd want that rematch. I mean, he was beaten. To me, that was like, for the, like I said, the judge to have it tied, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't matter, Haney still holds the belt, so
That's true. He does because of the missed weight. So
yeah.
Haney has to hold the belt. I think we need to see Ryan now against potentially a Victor Ortiz. Or actually not Victor Ortiz, I'm sorry, Esau Cruz would be the guy who you'd want to see him against. You know, but it's we he can't make this weight, it seems like. So also, like, is there a chance he moves up, right? So there's then it becomes a little more convoluted once you see who's available there and who, you know. I mean, obviously Tank beat him with a body shot that, you know, that Gervonta Davis beat him with a body shot that he did not recover from. And I would imagine that that's the key to beating Ryan Garcia, is that somebody just has to come in and go, yeah, I'm gonna hit him to the body, and dude's gonna crumble. I mean, he didn't even try to get up, you know. So but bizarre. I mean, I gotta be honest with you,
That's a
with how
weird
he was
fight.
acting, I never would have thought that he was ready for that fight. And man, that left has
I
got
mean,
power.
was he setting up Vegas? I mean,
Kind of feels like it. I mean, the crazy part is that, I mean, like, when you look at the guy and you look at just kind of how he's kind of been a little off the rails lately, and
totally.
that left, though, is I was questioning whether he actually had an eraser, and he most certainly does. That left is deadly, and it's so quick. And it's like, you know, when you watch peregrine falcons and they hit like birds in midair, they hit like,
Yeah.
you know, whatever, and it's like they just like a percussion and just done. Like, that's what it feels like. It comes so quick. You're like, wait, what the hell was that? And then boom, you know, the guy's down, in this case, Haney. And crazy fight, really crazy. Yeah.
I mean, amazing, my man. That 3.2 pounds, I guess it did have a little extra force behind it, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, really, it's like it's I hate that because it's just that's not the point of making weight, right? But
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's funny that he does say that whether Floyd actually did, ask him or not, or tell him to do that or not, I don't know. How can you really tell with him? But I mean, Floyd did that once, literally. He was 3.5 over. And ends up, I forget who it was against, but ends up beating the guy. This weekend we do have from Fresno, Jose. Well, it's going to be fought in Fresno. Jose Ramirez and Rancis Bartholomew. There's also going to be Jojo Diaz, and I believe Virgil Ortiz is also fighting on the undercard. Yeah, it looks like Virgil Ortiz. Yes, April 27th. So he's going to be on that card as well. Virgil's a fun fighter to watch. So definitely give that a tune in if you are a boxing fan. I think that we've got some MMA this weekend as well, but I don't have all the info on that. So, other sports we got in rugby, Seattle Seawolves, they headed over to New England.
Boom.
Yeah, the reigning champs, number one team in the East, the New England Free Jacks, and the Seawolves on the road, which is not easy in rugby, I might add. They win 29-21, their first place in the MLR. They've only lost to Houston. That is the only blemish on their set. This is very reminiscent of their first season, where they beat everybody but one team, and that was in that first season was the Glendale Raptors. They ended up going up against Glendale in the final and beat them for the first time that year. They lost them both at home and on the road. Hopefully, we beat Houston on the road this time. But they have a bye week this week, which will give other teams a chance to get that game in hand against them, and then they will take on, I believe. Is it Anthem, I want to say, which we don't want to have it be a trap game, but Anthem's really bad. So if they do play Anthem coming back here, which I believe it is, yeah, it is Anthem. And so that's a pretty bad team. So it's likely that the Seawolves will potentially stay on the top of the league with that one because they can possibly put up some good points against that too. If you look at Anthem, I believe their point differential is like it's a lot. But yeah, good for the Seawolves.
Yeah, good for them, man. I'm glad to see that any Seattle team beat a Boston team anyway.
Right. Like, I mean, that's yeah. I mean, West New England is like it's the best. By the way, I will say here, I'll just say too. Anthem's 0-7.
Oh,
And their point differential is -189. So
goodness.
yeah, so I'm not saying that we're going to for sure win this game, but
But you should.
definitely should. I mean, when we played other bad teams, like Los Angeles, we beat them pretty handily, beat Miami pretty handily as well. Miami has 2 wins. Los Angeles has 1. And they're both, they're -69, Los Angeles, and Miami's -5. But you look at the Free Jacks, they're +69. Seawolves are now +74, so they also lead in point differential in the league as well. So
Nice.
Seawolves are getting it done, and we love to see it. So,
Heck yeah, we do.
all right, man, it's time for the weekly battle. I think with Adrian not being here today, I think you can have your choice whether you want Borgie or well, let me say what it is first. It's who should actually be the NHL's MVP this year? We have to make a case for a
Heart.
player that definitely shouldn't.
Yeah. I'll stick with the one you gave me.
You got Tim Stutzle. Tom should be here right now,
Yeah.
but Tom's not here. So I've got Mario Ferraro.
A good pick for you, man.
Yeah, I got some great reasons why too. Just you wait. You go first though. Why should Tim Stutzle actually be the NHL's MVP this year?
Well, first off, it's because he's the second best German scorer in the NHL.
That is 100% true. You're
Yeah,
right.
it is. He is
Yep.
the second best German scorer in the NHL behind the Leon Draisaitl.
Who's a kind of a yeah, I mean, honestly,
Yeah,
Tim Stutzle's very close to passing him.
and just ahead of Grubauer.
Just in a group. Yeah, and goal scoring wise, yeah, you're right. So there you go.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
that right
you
there is like, yeah.
know. Yeah. And he once almost got in a fight before Brady Tkachuk came over and saved him. Hey, and he does sit on that top line and usually hangs out with Josh Norris, and he's got to be related to Chuck somehow, right? And Chuck never loses anything,
Yeah, absolutely.
so that's got to have some rub off powers at there. So that's why I think he should win the MVP.
Tim Stutzel, and I love it. Second best German scorer in the league. That's pretty big. That's I love that. That's like when I go on a 5K and in my age division has like three people, and I'm like, I was second, guys. I was that
Hey
close.
man, I would have been happy with third in my age division.
I was first in the Santa 5K 2022. There was only like a three or four people, and it was snowy and icy, but I was first.
Those other three people quit.
probably. I had it, but in all fairness, my ankle was swollen and had just turned before the race. So I've got Mario Ferraro, and this is why Mario Ferraro should win the MVP this year. Okay, so we're starting off with he saved Princess Peach from Donkey Kong.
Oh, that's right, he did.
He has a pet friend and dinosaur named Yoshi. Nobody else in the league has a pet friend and dinosaur. He's an accomplished golfer, tennis player, soccer player, baseball. Also, what did I write here? Oh, he competed in the Olympics with Sonic the Hedgehog. He's a Daytona 500 champ. He's an Indy 500 champ. He won the something peak hill climb that I couldn't write down. 12 hours of Sebring he won, and he got through a full season of playing with the San Jose Sharks. That is the reason why.
I mean, the last reason in itself is MVP worthy, to be honest.
That's my reason why.
Tomas Hertl signed an 8-year contract, didn't even make it a full year into the contract before he needed a trade.
Yeah, right. I think it's okay and safe that I just search Mario, right, on Google for
Sure.
statistics. Yeah. None of those are other Marios or anything. No.
I
But yeah,
mean,
pretty incredible when you think about Daytona 500 champ, 12 hours of Sebring,
yeah,
save
man.
Princess Peach from Donkey Kong. It's pretty
Man, if I
amazing, I
searched
think.
Tim, I would have gotten like this meme of Tim Duncan getting kicked out of a game while sitting on the bench laughing.
Dude, Tim Duncan is the GOAT. Like, for
Yeah.
real.
I mean, seriously though, he did get ejected from an NBA game while sitting on the bench smiling and
Yeah,
laughing.
which
That's
brings
the ridiculous.
something else, by the way, that happened this week that was kind of hilarious. Aaron Boone,
Oh, yes.
he's a little mad at the ref, but he didn't say anything. He's being a good boy,
Yeah.
and the guy in the crowd above him yells something. I don't know what it was. Yells something. The umpire thinks that it's Aaron
Boom.
Boone, and he injects him. And Aaron, I didn't say anything. I didn't say
Yeah.
anything. So good.
His reputation preceded him. It was his 31st ejection.
So good. It's so great. One of my
I love
favorite
watching
things.
him whine so much. It's
I know.
great.
It's honestly one of the best things that has happened this year in baseball so far. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Do you have
Anything that gets a Yankee manager kicked out for no reason
so
is at the
good.
top of my list of awesome things that
Yeah.
happen.
Do you have a horrible headline this week?
Oh man, I do not.
I have two. I've got okay, so are we ready?
Yeah.
I've got first cousins once removed. Penix gets drafted number eight. Number eight, yeah.
That's a good one, dude.
And I've got don't like that. Doesn't yeah. Disappointed, Nate
Let me see
DL.
if I can make one up real quick.
Hey, go ahead.
Kraken Root up, move to prime. Prime time.
Like it. Good stuff though. This was a I feel like we sped right through this week. But then again,
Yeah.
that's good. That's good. We gotta
About an
keep
hour and
it.
a half in.
Yeah, we gotta keep it nice and listenable for everybody. Well, and without we didn't have Adrian and Tom here to chat with, which is,
Yeah,
yeah.
well, I'm Tom to add editing time for you.
Hey, Tom, I gotta say, shout out to Tom. He actually was decently behaved last week.
Yeah, hey, M's take the win, 6-1 over Arizona.
Is it the win? I know that we were up 6-1.
Yeah, it's done.
Oh, fuck yes. That's a quick game.
Bad deal for me. Zach Gallen got injured.
Oh, no, dude. Your
So.
team is really injured.
And then
Baseball.
also Yandy Diaz got tagged by a 99 mile an hour fastball for me today, so he got hit right on the hand, so He got yanked out too. So yeah, I'm hoping I get, and I just made a trade with Adrian too.
Nice.
I am getting, because I needed a first baseman so bad, I was relying on Santander.
Yeah.
And I traded for Matt Olson. I gave up a ton. I gave up Wilson Contreras, Jordan Montgomery, and Seth Lugo.
Shit, dude. Should have offered me some trades. Oh God, my ERA
But
today is 14.
oh, mine's brutal too. But
Bassett
I
got
needed Matt Olson,
killed.
and he's been struggling, so I thought I could get him a little bit. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, he's got to heat up.
Bassett lasted 2 2/3 innings, 23 ERA against the Dodgers.
Yeah,
And
Joe
then you
Musgrove
had
went 3 2/3 and had an ERA of 17.18 today.
Luis
With,
Gil had 9.
yeah.
Oh, man.
Kimbrel lasted a third of an inning and his ERA was 27 today. Blew a save.
Oh, my gosh. I've got one home run today. No, I've got one run today. It was Cal Raleigh. Thank you, Cal. But
Oh,
yeah.
man, I benched JT Realmuto. Whoops.
My team's strictly playing the weekend. That's when they come back and they're like, yeah, we're gonna do this.
Yeah,
And then I get like 5-4 win.
I was winning earlier 7-3. Now it's down to 5-4 because my pitching imploded.
I know that mine's bad if I look at it. I like actually actively don't look at it. Eight
How
to
is your
one
team
right now.
so bad?
No, it's good. I won last week. Don't worry, I will catch up. I mean, because right now, if you look, I'm close on every stat.
You are pretty close to it.
Yeah,
Man.
well, besides pitching, which
How
I'm.
does Bob have only 2 home runs? Anyway, guys, thanks for listening to this chaos.
Exactly. Well, everybody, you know where to find the podcast. You've got every place you could possibly dream of listening to a podcast. And you can also find clips of the show on TikTok and on Instagram. Yeah, so make sure you go follow us there and leave us a review or give us some stars and all that good stuff on anywhere you listen to your podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening. And yeah, we'll be back next week and we'll be talking more playoffs all around and hopefully better stuff regarding the Sounders as well.
One can hope, and day three of the NFL draft, and see what Seattle comes up with.
Yes, we will know what the teams are somewhat looking like. I'm sure we'll talk about how Mike McDonald's going to be looking at that team, the defense. And also, we might be talking about soon if the Kraken are going to be letting go of Hacksaw. We'll see how those discussions go as we move forward. You'd think it was coming soon. So,
It's gotta.
anyways, thank you very much again to everybody. Thank you, Aaron, for being on the show. Next week, also, we'll have both the Sounders and the Seawolves back in Seattle. So, all
Sounds like a plan.
right, later, everybody. Oops, stop.